This is an ABC podcast.
Live across Victoria.
On the ABC Listen app.
Your smart speaker.
And on your radio.
This is ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
The conversations that are important to you. In your town, your suburb.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, that might need to change to a kiwi a day keeps the doctor away. We have been told forever to eat high-fibre foods to stop constipation. But new guidelines on what we eat and drink, especially if you have chronic or long-term constipation, don't necessarily now advise a high-fibre diet. It's embarrassing to talk about constipation, I know, but it has a huge impact on people's lives and their well-being. So what are these new guidelines and how could they help you? And it's Friday, so it means at around 11:30 today, Jacinta Parsons will be joining me. And today we're looking at the Golden Bachelor. Is it just a little bit of harmless fun? Or does it tell us something about how men want women to look as they age, especially when they're dating? Do men want women to look young, or do they just want to date younger women? Has that been your experience?
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Get more fibre into your diet. We have been told time and time again to help stop constipation, make sure you have a high fibre diet. That's where the saying comes from, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. However, there are new guidelines on what to eat and drink, and they don't necessarily recommend or advise a high fibre diet. 1-300-222-774. If this is something that impacts you, constipation, like even saying it on the radio, right, feels a little bit strange, feels a little bit weird. It's embarrassing. And that is something that we need to get over, especially if it's something that impacts you. And maybe it does, and you don't want to speak to your doctor, you don't want to speak to your pharmacist, and has that had an impact on you? And what don't people understand about constipation and the impacts it may have on you and just your daily life and your well-being? Dr. Vincent Ho is an associate professor and clinical academic gastroenterologist. Oh, I practice that too, Vincent. You're from the Western Sydney University. Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle, and thank you for having me on your show.
It's embarrassing to talk about constipation, isn't it? But it's something we just have to get over and talk about.
Absolutely. And look, there certainly is a stigma about discussing bowel motions, even with very best friends or family members. But I think it's really good that we're talking about this because there's lots to talk about and it's actually quite an interesting area when you delve into it.
Well, gut health has been having a moment over the last kind of 10 years or so. And this is peak gut health, really, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And the guidelines especially have come out at a very timely point because it's giving people useful information about constipation.
So before we go into the guidelines and the new guidelines and how they've changed, and there's some really good key foods to eat and to make sure they're a part of your daily diet. But when you say chronic or long-term constipation, what does that mean? How does that impact people's lives?
Yeah, so constipation itself means different things to different people. For some people, constipation is not passing frequent bowel motions, so they might be having less than, for example, one bowel motion every 3 days. Others find it difficult to pass bowel motion, so what we call straining. Others are passing very hard, lumpy stools. All of these symptoms are in keeping with constipation, and we know that chronic constipation is defined when you have these symptoms for at least 3 months.
So what causes constipation?
There are lots of different causes. So there are some dietary causes. For example, it's felt that for a long time, it was felt that a lack of fiber was contributing to constipation. We also know that being dehydrated can contribute to constipation. Certain medications, for example, if you're on painkillers, that's a good way, obviously, of getting constipated. And we know that sometimes it can be due to medical reasons as well. So some people that develop constipation, particularly as we get older, with some alarming symptoms, like, for example, blood in the bowel motions, maybe it's something more sinister growing in the bowel. So there's a whole range of causes for constipation, some of which are serious, but most of the time, particularly if they're chronic, they tend to be fairly benign. So it tends to be the part of the overall picture of chronic constipation.
Gosh, you really have the double whammy too if you're on painkillers, if you're living with chronic pain. We all know that if you've had surgery and you need to take sort of stronger painkillers, they warn you, look, constipation is going to be a side effect of this. So you have to sort of weigh up not being in pain and not being able to go to the loo. And if you are living in chronic pain or if you're taking a lot of medication, you sort of really got yourself a double whammy there. This, I'm a nurse and I love talking about bowels. More constipation chat, or as my dad used to say, roughage. And I've had quite a few people say you need roughage in your diet. My mum used to say that too. I don't even know what that means, Vincent.
Well, roughage is really referring to fibre. And I've got to say, very simply, there are three types of fibres that we should know about. So there's what we call soluble fibre, which is fibre that dissolves well in water. And you can find that in fruits and vegetables and oats and legumes. Then you've got insoluble fibre. So that's what fibre that doesn't dissolve very well in water, and it actually absorbs water to help basically soften our bowel motions. And you find that in the skin of many fruits and vegetables. You find that in whole grain breads and cereals. And then you get something called resistant starch. And that is not broken down at all in the small bowel. And basically you find that in things like undercooked pasta, underripe bananas. You can find that in rice and cooled potatoes. And often when we talk about roughage, we talk about fiber in general, but sometimes we're referring to resistant starch because that's not broken down very well at all. So that's often what it's referring to.
So let's go through these new guidelines. They've just been released, and there's probably four key foods that have been highlighted. Kiwi is on the top of the list. I love kiwi fruit. And these are a little superfood, aren't they, from the amount of vitamins you get. And now they're going to help you, in terms of being able to go to the toilet. Why kiwi?
Well, this is where it's fascinating. So the guidelines looked at the evidence in regards to kiwi fruit, and surprisingly, there's a lot of good evidence that kiwi fruit actually helps with constipation. So the researchers found that eating 2 to 3 kiwi fruit a day for at least 4 weeks can improve your constipation. And whether you're taking green kiwi fruit or gold kiwi fruit, the evidence shows that it helps. But these are a few reasons for why kiwi fruit is particularly helpful for constipation. So one thing that has been found about kiwi fruit is that the fiber in it swells a lot when mixed with water. So it absorbs a lot of water. And we've talked before about the importance of absorbing water to actually keep the bowel motions regular. It does it a lot. It actually does it much more than apple fiber. In fact, they found in the research that it absorbs water 6 times more than apple fiber does. So kiwi fruit's particularly special in that regards.
So yeah. Do you have to, because I had a hilarious chat the other day where I saw a colleague of mine bite into a kiwi fruit like an apple and eat the skin. Do you need to eat the skin because that's where all of the roughage and fibre is?
Well, yes, in the sense that if you eat the whole fruit, including the skin, that's going to get you more fiber than just eating the flesh alone. But the guidelines have found that you can eat the kiwi fruit without the skin, and that's perfectly fine. So, you know, if you've got hesitant about eating the skin, that's perfectly fine to just eat the flesh by itself. Yes.
Now, I like the skin on kiwi fruit. Hey, Vincent, before we go through the other foods, we'll speak to Susan, who's called through in Mount Waverley. Hi, Susan.
Hello, Rish. I'll try not to be too graphic.
It's hard, isn't it? Because I actually saw what you're going to talk about. And then, and this shows how childish I am, I started to giggle a little bit because I thought I'm going to have to say, you know, two words that people struggle with, because you have not just constipation, you have the opposite. You have diarrhea as well.
Oh, at the same time, which I didn't think, I thought that defied the laws of physics myself. But just very short backstory. So I'm on a breast cancer drug that causes diarrhea. Mm-hmm. And I was getting diarrhea quite ferociously.
Yeah.
So I ended up taking some GastroStop. And what happened is that I actually stopped everything and then I ended up in hospital.
Oh.
Now, my oncologist said that you probably had some constipation, and then what I was having is what was referred to as overflow diarrhea. But as a person who has experienced things shooting out of me, how would I have known that I was actually constipated as well?
I've never heard the term overflow diarrhea, Susan, but I am so glad you just said those words together. Susan, I know my mum went through the same thing on cancer drugs, and there were times where she'd be like, Rishi, quick, find me a toilet, and I would be running into restaurants and all sorts of things for her. Let's ask Vincent. Vincent, I mean, you mentioned drugs and painkillers and whatnot. I mean, Susan didn't think it was physically possible to have both. It sounds like it is.
Yes, it certainly can be very possible to have both. And in fact, what Susan's referring to with overflow diarrhea is when you can get, for example, a lot of constipation, so fecal impaction. And then basically what happens is that in order for some of the water in particular, some of the watery stools to get around the really hard impacted stools, it actually leaks around. It goes around the really impacted stools, which are in the colon, and it leaks out. So, you know, it comes across sometimes as a sort of almost like a watery diarrhea, but it actually reflects the fact that there is actually a good blockage going on in the bowel. And it's very difficult to work that out sometimes. Often we can pick up this on an x-ray, for example, if you do an x-ray of the abdomen, but we have to suspect it in the first instance. But often if an x-ray shows that there's a lot of blocked up feces, then it suggests that there is overflow. But going to the point of having both constipation, diarrhea, yes, okay, that is very possible. And in fact, a lot of people that have irritable bowel syndrome will have both a kind of a mixed picture of diarrhea and constipation.
Susan, we wish you all the best. How's your treatment going?
So far so good.
Great.
I've only got 10 more years worth of hormone treatment to go. So, you know, that's fun. But as long as I can make sure that I'm not locked up, I think I'll be okay.
Oh, Susan, bless. I mean, this says, Rochelle, what planet are you from discussing defecation on Talkback Radio? I'm so disappointed in you. You know what? I'm not disappointed in myself. It's hard to listen to Vincent, but we actually have to talk about it. This is part of the issue that we have, really, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I'm really glad that we're talking about this. We're breaking barriers by doing this.
Yeah.
This is a topic that, you know, is stigmatizing for a lot of people. But we're talking about it frankly and openly, and hopefully we're trying to make it interesting as well.
Hey, Carmel's got a really good question. He's in Kyneton. Hi, Carmel.
Hi. My question is, what happens if you're allergic to kiwi fruit?
Oh, is there another food?
Feel like your throat's swelling and...
Is there another food that's as good as kiwi, Vincent?
Yeah, so look, I mean, there are many different alternatives to kiwi. So if you can't tolerate kiwi fruit, if you've got an allergy to that, obviously you can make sure that you can get enough fiber through different means. For example, we know that carrots, for example, if you consume carrots with their skin on, a cup of that will contain usually about 7 grams of fiber. So that's a decent amount of fiber. If you think that, you know, often the guidelines recommend about sort of 25 grams of fiber a day. So you can get about a quarter of your dietary fiber just by eating a cup of carrots with the skin on. So there's a good alternative for someone that's unable to tolerate kiwi fruits. And there are other options as well that we can discuss too, including from the guidelines as references to...
Yeah, so there's a couple of other interesting ones. Carmel, wishing you all the best. Okay. Carrots is a really good one. This so there's mineral water was on the list, Vincent. I drink a lot of mineral water. Maybe, I mean, great. I'm thinking it's got more benefits than just me enjoying the bubbliness of it.
Well, that's right. So the guidelines recommend that if you drink 0.5 to 1.5 liters a day, so that's roughly 2 to 6 cups of mineral water for about 2 to 6 weeks, that can be beneficial for constipation. And the reason for that is because mineral water will often contain magnesium. And that can be a laxative for people. So that's the key behind why mineral water can be helpful.
And magnesium itself was on the list as well. But of course, you've always got to seek, you know, medical advice, in particular when taking a supplement, because magnesium is a supplement. But that's been on the new guidelines.
That's exactly right. And you're right in the sense that, you know, magnesium isn't for everybody. So people, for example, with kidney disease have to be quite careful. And we also know that magnesium supplements may also interact with other medications, for example, the medications that you might use to treat osteoporosis. So, I would recommend that they be used with a bit of care and certainly in discussion with your local doctor about that.
And, I mean, this is just pretty much my diet. So I'm very happy that for once I'm like, great, because rye bread just, I mean, there are other things on the new guidelines, but the main ones were kiwi, magnesium, mineral water and rye bread. There's bread, there's rye bread and there's rye bread. Are we talking like the 100% rye bread that's like a heavy brick that would break a window if you threw it, or are we talking supermarket rye bread?
Look, a supermarket rye bread would be fine. So the studies have shown that indeed rye bread relieves constipation more than white bread, or even more than most common laxatives. But the difficulty is they recommend about 6 to 8 slices of rye bread a day.
Oh, wow.
For around 3 weeks. Now, that's a lot of rye bread for a lot of people. So it may not be practical. And obviously, if you've got a condition like celiac disease, then obviously rye bread would not be appropriate for you. But it's worthwhile trialing out as an alternative.
Absolutely. What I'm loving about this is that these are lots of really natural alternatives to taking things over the counter to help. Vincent, you know, out of the one message that we had that said, I can't believe you're talking about this, we've had about 10,000 that say, oh my God, I'm so glad you are talking about this. And there are questions that I cannot keep up with. Let's have this chat again, shall we? And we'll dedicate
more time to it.
Do you want it?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go eat some kiwi. Thanks, Vincent.
It's a pleasure.
Vincent Ho, Associate Professor and Clinical Academic Gastroenterologist. I said it, at Western Sydney University. New guidelines are out that help with chronic or long-term constipation. The top four were kiwi, mineral water, rye bread and magnesium. Of course, always speak to your doctor. Always seek out your own medical advice. This, Rish, I've just gone to the fridge and I've grabbed a kiwi and I've eaten it, skin and all.
ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is the Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
I can't keep up with all of your texts talking about constipation. Good on you, Rish. Thank you for talking about such a taboo topic, and lots of questions and really, really interesting questions. People saying we actually have to talk about our bowels and our bowel habits. So I'm going to do this again. I really am. I think it's fascinating. So we'll pick up on that. If we didn't get to your questions and all of your great foods that you're asking about, we're going to do it another time. So stay tuned. But cast your mind back to the 80s. Did you have a bug catcher as a kid? It might be time to dust that bad boy off, although thinking about it, it's probably not really cool to keep insects in small plastic cylinders anymore. However, if your enthusiasm and knowledge for bugs is still high, then this is your time, because there is a bug count happening. Think bird count, but bugs. They need your help. Alison Mellor is the project co-lead for Bug Hunt. She's from Invertebrates Australia. Alison, this is citizen scientists at its best. For many of us, we don't like bugs. You know, we want to get rid of bugs. We have bug sprays. But that's not always the best thing to do. There are some bugs that are bad. There are some bugs that are good. And you're wanting to know what bugs we have in our backyard.
Absolutely. So we're really wanting people to get out there, take photographs of bugs that they're seeing in their backyard and upload them into a citizen science app called iNaturalist.
And why?
Why? We're really encouraging people to put all of these photos up to help us get a better picture of what bugs are in people's backyards, what bugs are in our bushland, what bugs are on our farms, what bugs are all around us, because we really don't have a fantastic picture for a lot of our invertebrates about how they're going and where they are. So it really helps us build our knowledge about bugs. And it can also help us get an early start on spotting any potentially invasive species from overseas that might be coming in.
and that's becoming more and more of an issue for us, isn't it? When
exactly.
we look at fire ants and all sorts of things. So is this predominantly, because I guess there are good bugs and bad bugs.
Well, I think sometimes we're really quick to put labels on like whether the good or bugs are bad. But I think, you know, a lot of the time it is a lot more nuanced than that. And a lot of bugs that we, you know, might quickly put a label on as bad bugs, you know, can have really important roles that they're playing in our environment and have a lot of benefits in different ways. So we kind of try not to put the categories on good or bad bugs so much. And we're really interested in just getting people to upload photographs of any and all the bugs that they see in around them.
So where are some of the best places to look? I'm presuming on plants and around lights. What sort of bugs are we talking about? Is it any and all?
Yeah, so when we're talking about bugs, we're really talking about insects, we're talking about spiders, we're talking about snails and slugs. And so we're using that word bugs quite broadly to encompass all those things. I'm standing in a lobby at the moment and near a windowsill, I can see, you know, a few little bugs here on the windowsill. And I was just talking with a colleague earlier and we were saying, you know, often windowsills are amazing places to find bugs coming in and really easy for us. Even if you're living in the city, you can, you know, see things that might be coming to your porch light at night. You know, we get really beautiful moths that can come into your porch light at night. And so even around like your home, you can, you know, keep your eyes out. And it is one of those things where if you start looking, you will start finding.
I love your enthusiasm on this. So you're the project lead for the citizen, scientist citizen bug hunt count. I've really mangled that, but people know what I'm talking about.
Bugs in my backyard week is our like concentrated week.
So bugs in my backyard. For people, where did your fascination come from, Alison?
Look, I've always been really interested in, you know, nature and the environment, but it actually wasn't until about 10 years ago when I went to a workshop about native bees with someone who had a very contagious enthusiasm for bees that it got me quite interested in learning more and taking more time to notice what's in my backyard. And what really blew my mind is I live on Dharawal country in Wollongong in New South Wales, and you know, I'd really only known European honeybees around me. But, you know, from just catching some of that enthusiasm from someone passionate about native bees, once I started actually looking, like I found dozens of different species of Australian native bees in my own suburban backyard. You know, from blue banded bees to neon cuckoo bees and teddy bear bees. Like, it's really blown me away how the human mind has such an incredible ability to notice things when you want to notice them.
So I love
this. So if you start looking, and this is our message for Bug Hunt, it's like, start looking, you know.
Look in your backyard, look at your windowsill. So this is a part of Bugs in My Backyard Week. It's happening the 17th to the 23rd of November. Where can you just repeat where people can upload their photographs?
So there's two places that we're encouraging people to go to. So we do have a website for Bug Hunt. So you can just search for Bug Hunt online. It's bughunt.org.au. And then we're encouraging people to use a platform which is called iNaturalist. So iNaturalist you can use either on your laptop computer or you can download an app for your phone. So it's really easy to just snap photos on your phone and upload them straight into this iNaturalist app.
And be a part of it, Backyard Week.
It's really easy, like super easy to do. Once you get the hang of using iNaturalist, like it's such a fun app and program to use because you take a photo of a bug, you might not be sure what it is, but when you upload it, it will actually give you suggestions and be like, oh, I think this is this type of butterfly. Aww. And then there's an amazing community of enthusiasts that will jump on and they will actually suggest what specific
Yeah, and once you start to zone in as well, you can really see where they are. Alison, thank you so much. If people want to be a part of it, they can put Bug Hunt into their search engine. They can see how they can be a part of this. This text that says, presumably they don't want to hear about flies and ants. Yes, they do. They want all types of bugs. Alison, we wish you all the best, and I hope that you get lots of great pictures of bugs. Alison Mellor.
Thank you so much.
See you, Project Coley. Lead for the Bug Hunt. She's from Invertebrates Australia. In just a tick, Jacinta Parsons will be joining us. We're going to be looking at the Golden Bachelor. When you date later in life, do men want women to either be younger or to look younger? What has your experience been? But the weekend is just around the corner, which I don't know about you, it means that I'm going to be wearing a lot of active wear. And active wear now, they're sort of just a part of our wardrobe, aren't they? They're just a staple that for many of us, we wear all the time. But as our appetite for active wear grows, so does the choice that we're faced with. And as a result, so does the level of fast fashion and textile waste in the active wear world grow. Jai Marshall is a lecturer in fashion design at Swinburne University of Technology. Jai, you've just been a part of a panel for Melbourne Fashion Week that looked at activewear, that looked at the types of textiles we use in sportswear. We wear them all the time now. They're just a part of our wardrobe. They take up entire sections of our wardrobe. How problematic is the actual fibre and the textiles that we're using in activewear?
Yes. Synthetic fibres really, consumers just have no idea about the different fibres that are in their active wear. So predominantly a lot of sports performance wear does use synthetic fibres, so plastics, compared to natural differences. So the panel last night really explored various kind of different researchers around natural fibres and how it can be used to really improve sports performance.
So how... I mean, I'm thinking about the activewear that I own, the activewear that I see in shops. I can't think of any that would be natural fibres, and whether or not you can even exercise in natural fibres. Have I got that all wrong?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Lots of people have a really interesting assumption about natural fibres. So one of the best natural fibres to use in performance wear is actually wool. And when people think of wool, they think of big, chunky jumpers that are worn in winter. But actually, wool has quite a lot of properties that can be used in winter and summer. And it kind of makes sense when you think of a sheep. The sheep has to be out year-round, and that fibre has to react to the different climates. So wool is a really great fibre to use in performance wear. And we're starting to see so many different innovations in this sector, even so much so that we're seeing wool being used in board shorts to wear to the beach. It has such great natural fibres that synthetic fibres just can't replace.
I know, and in swimwear as well. Am I right in thinking in some of our Olympians and some of our really high-tech swimwear, there's wool being used?
Absolutely, yep. Yeah, so the wool fibre has just so many amazing properties. It's, anti-odour. When we think of some of those athletic garments, particularly school PE uniforms, they tend to smell disgusting. And that's because the synthetic fibres hold that really interesting smell. Where wool is naturally odour-free. It's crinkle-free, and it has such an interesting innovation across our sector. And actually, Australia produce something like 60% of the world's fine apparel wool comes from Australia, and we export that globally across the world.
And can people download and have a listen to this panel that happened last night? Is it available online? No.
Yeah, we are going to provide a bit of a summary of last night's panel. But I do always really encourage people to go to things like Melbourne Fashion Week and Melbourne Fashion Festival in March next year to really, hear from some of these talks. It's not just for industry members, but it's also for consumers. One of the big issues we have in Australia is that consumers just have no idea about the fibre content of their garments and how fashion is really turning into more of a technical area to study.
Absolutely, and anything that can help with stinky, uniforms and yeah, absolutely. Why some? Oh my gosh, I'm thinking basketball uniforms and the stink that can come from those. Jai, always good to speak with you. Thank you. Jai Marshall, lecturer in fashion design at Swinburne University of Technology, was a part of a panel discussion last night looking at activewear and sportswear and the types of materials and fibres that we use. Up next, Jacinta Parsons.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
I say it and I say it again. It is my favourite time of the week. Look at the smile in your eyeballs, Jacinta Parsons. It's Friday, so it's time for you and I to hang out.
My eyeballs are clapping on you.
They're smiling.
They can't help it. They like what they see.
I was once told that. So, okay, random story. Anyhow.
So this isn't your style, but I love it.
Dr. Carl from Neighbours.
Oh, yeah.
He is also a semi-professional photographer. Yes. And when I wanted to be an actor, he took my headshots and he told me, he said, smile with your eyes. And I was like, what? And so, you can't see me now, but I'm trying to make my eyes smile.
No, they are smiling.
Are they?
They are smiling because usually they're dead. No, they're not dead. On a Friday at this time, you unravel somewhat and those eyes are sparkling.
I thought of you last night. We're going to talk.
Worries every time you think of me is a red flag for me.
Yeah, it is. Actually, this is big red flag. We're going to talk Golden Bachelor in just a tick. Are you watching it? Because we haven't watched it, but we want to talk about it.
Yeah, this is classic. Classic you and me. We've got opinions.
Do men want women to be younger or look younger when they're dating later in life? But I thought about you last night because I had some regrets because I cut my own hair with the chicken scissors.
Hang on. Are there chicken scissors?
You don't own chicken scissors?
Are they the ones that go through the bone?
Yeah.
What the hell? Of all the scissors in the house, you've got nail clippers, you've got
You can't cut your hair with nail clippers.
You just said to me you cut it with a chicken
boning
scissors.
I looked at my daughter's craft scissors and they had glue all over them. So I went, glue, chicken, I'm going with chicken.
Wow.
Anyhow, they're good. They're sharp. They can cut through bone, man. They can cut hair.
Yeah, but they're like built not for a hairstyle.
As I discussed.
Can you, like, this is advice that I think is really important. Sometimes you've got to check in with people before. What did you do?
Well, I decided that I wanted some bangs.
Are you going through? This is like also a red flag. What's happening in your
life? Well, no, nothing. I got a bad haircut and I've been seeing all these good haircuts and I'm like, I wouldn't mind maybe. And then some bangs. I can't be bothered going to the hairdresser.
Yeah.
I just did a little chip. So it's not too bad, but enough that I'm wondering if I go to the hairdresser now, do I tell them the truth?
Do you know what?
No, hand up.
No, I am sick of sitting in those chairs.
Same.
And them saying to me, I know you've done your own dye. How do you know? Why?
And who cares?
And who cares? I don't care about hair like you do. I respect you went to school about it and you're doing a great job in the world.
I need to blow
but
my
don't
nose.
Give me all your tension around whether
and
my
your
hair's
judgment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get off the judgment.
If I want to cut my hair with chicken scissors and then come to you to fix it.
I reckon you're going to find out who you love, who loves you when they know you've chicken scissored it. Because that's a
It just looks like a crime.
Can you take off your headphones for a second?
Huh?
A small animal's gnawed on you.
Yeah.
Can you take your headphones off so I can see?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it looks bad.
No, it really doesn't. Because you look all right. That's the problem with you.
Oh my God. Anyway, I'll keep you posted. So we're not talking about chicken scissors and
Can
hair.
Can I actually cut your hair?
No.
We could do it for charity.
No. No, dead no. Hard no.
Not even?
No.
I've got spirit. Like, I don't have technique, but I've got artistic vision.
My girlfriend, I'm going to get her to cut it. She actually cuts her daughter's
hair. My girlfriend.
No, she even bought the scissors and a cape.
She bought a cape. I have a cape. Yeah.
No, not like
knit
a Batman cape.
Scissors and like the combs. Do you know that when I know we're going to move on, but the English Rose, Joe Woods, during COVID.
Because that went bad, though, remember?
Oh, she carried on. I dyed her hair blonde down in the makeup department. And, of course, it has to go orange for a bit. She freaked out.
Does it have to go orange?
Babe, you've got to go through stages. It's like life, you know. It's a staging of grief. Anyway, she got upset too soon.
Speaking of stages, Golden Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't watch it. You don't watch it, but we want to talk about it because I've been paying attention to what people have been saying on the internet and on my social media feeds about the Golden Bachelor. And the thing that is shining through is, yes, these women are older and in their golden years, whatever that
means.
Whatever
that means.
But they don't look their age. So all of them have, it looks quite apparent, have had cosmetic work, Botox, fillers, whatnot, all incredibly thin, all incredibly buff. Is the narrative that we're being sold through this show now, yes, it's great to have older women dating, but you just have to look like you're 40.
You've got to strap yourself in. You've got to put around all those, whatever they are, Spanx. You've got to make sure there's no hair growing out of your chin, which is where I stumble. That's my first stumbling block. And I think this continues. We talk about it a bit, perpetuating these concepts of unrealistic beauty standards that are existent through our whole lives. And this yet again, I mean, he's the Golden Bachelor. Mm. He looks kind of nice. I didn't practice what I was going to say today. But he's able to have grey hair, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's great.
So, I mean, this women can do whatever they want, right? They can change their faces. They can have cosmetic surgery. They can have do Botox. They can colour their hair. Whatevs, knock yourself out. The conversation really is around, and I remember years ago talking about dating later in life, and I had a barrage of women call me and say, the men my age want to date younger women. Is this your experience? Do you know who's called us straight away?
And but the moment is it also the same for same-sex relationships?
Don't know. Want to know. 1-300-222-774. You know who called us straight away on this, even sent me a text saying, Rish, I'm watching it. I can help you out.
Oh.
Is Nellie Thomas.
Oh.
G'day, Nellie.
I tell you what older men love, constipation and chicken scissors.
Oh, I cover it all, man.
Yeah, that's her calling card. If they go back and look and they'll be like, she is good for some good stuck poo.
I read my notes earlier on a page and it's just a list and it says constipation, bugs, fashion. Yeah. And then it says
chicken scissors.
Chicken scissors.
You know what? I love you that someone actually asked about the fact that you use chicken scissors. They're like, what? You had a problem with the glue, but you didn't have the problem with giblets or whatever they are there's on no the scissors.
There's no chicken gizzards on
how
the
do
actual
you
scissors.
Know?
My husband put
Sorry,
them in
Nellie.
The dishwasher.
Continue.
Nellie, yes. You're the only one yes. out of us that has actually yes. watched The Golden Bachelor.
Of course I'm watching it. Are you out of your mind?
No, so, I love you. Okay. Is this good for women or bad for women?
Well, I don't think it is an indication of what older men want in women. I think it's an indication of what the casting agents on that show chose to put on television. Because, as you both know, I've got a podcast on later dating. And yes. the women who call into my podcast, let's just say they look different to the ladies on The Golden Bachelor, hashtag no offence. And none of them seem to have any trouble getting dates. So I think it's
that's
a
interesting.
Real world thing.
Mm, okay, that's what I wanted to hear. That makes me feel a little bit happy. When, and in terms of dating later in life, gosh, it sounds yeah. so, you know, not real and yeah. how you were talking about this, but, you know, whatever, when if you're 50 and over and dating, is it hard? Like, how hard is it to get back out there, put yourself out there, to even meet someone and feel, do you feel judged?
Nellie, you've got good answers for this.
Oh, it's hard emotionally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am in the same-sex dating pool, so I think it's quite different. But I rang my dear friend, Jaunty Blair, who you both love and adore, and she's a woman dating in her 60s, and she has no trouble getting dates, ladies. I said, how many have you got on the go at the moment? Three.
And does right? she feel like she's got a kind of match? And this is what you're saying clearly. She doesn't feel like she's got to match these outrageous ideals of looking younger, you know, having everything strapped into your body so nothing's hanging out, all of the things that are perpetuated in media. You feel like that's not what's happening out there?
No, I genuinely don't think it is. Of course, there's a subset of men who prefer younger women, dare we say, Leonardo DiCaprio effect. Of course, but that's always been the case. And there's more options now to poke things in your face and get filler and do all the things. But I think there is most men are very happy to have access, if you know what I'm saying.
have access. You know what's interesting? I've had two.
I mean, Nellie Thomas can say that in the way that she says
mate,
it.
I was talking about being constipated and diarrhea at the same time,
yeah, exactly,
today, right?
Yeah.
Nothing is bad.
No.
Now.
That's what I texted my family this week. They said, how are you feeling about this big event? And I said, I have very fluid movements. Anyway.
Anyway. You know, I've had two women text in talking about how they auditioned for this show. I see that's taking your confidence and, I mean, even the idea of auditioning for a program like that, whoa, man, that takes some confidence, doesn't it?
It does. And I don't know if either of you remember, but 2019, because I'm obsessed with these shows, I started a petition to get Judith Lucy as the Bachelorette.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Of a woman who looks like, you know, her age and is gorgeous and wonderful. And we got 20,000 signatures. And I'm like, I would watch that. I think I do not understand the lack of courage from the casting people.
I agree. And I thought we went through a transition stage. You know how, and I guess it's not a perfect example, but something like MasterChef, it wasn't about good looking. It was about cultural background. It was about being a human. It was about being able to be vulnerable on the screen and show yourself. And we love that sort of television.
Yeah.
We're not, I mean.
It's still very curated. One of my best mates is the storyline editor for that show. We're still, we're still sold a story. And I mean, this is broadening out the lens even further, but just the world of reality TV, it's been around for so long now. I saw an ad the other day for Big Brother. It's like, we were the first, right? And I was like, yeah, actually you were.
You ruined the world.
You ruined the bloody world.
Yeah.
Or did they?
Imagine,
or did they?
Imagine the capacity for connection and change if they actually had people on those shows that were a bit more relatable. Because in the parlance of my nana, he's no oil painting either. Like, he's a cute dude, but he looks his age.
This is it. And you know what's been interesting is in a kind of comparison, The Amazing Race that has Georgie Tunney and Rob Mills on it, a huge reaction from the audience has been, wow, it's so nice to see a relationship that's supportive and healthy and regular every day rather than mining the conflict. And I think people are equally attracted. I mean, they
mining
are attracted.
The conflict. Hello, The Block. Like, that's just become like, hey, let's just watch people fight and fall apart. But how much of it do you actually believe? And it just gets so toxic, this whole world. Nellie, we love you. Thank you for calling.
Look, I love you and I love The Golden Bachelor and I don't back down from that.
No,
don't apologise.
There's a song about that, not backing down, Nellie, and we'll play it for you when you're there.
How do you reckon you and I would go on Amazing Race?
Do you know what?
What?
I've been daydreaming that it's going to happen.
Was it you and me? Or no, you wouldn't take me. I'm terrible.
What are you bad at?
Maps.
I'm not good at maps either, but I'm good at following what the lady says.
I'm
not good at organisation.
No, I'm not good at that either.
What's your attitude like when the chips are down? Do you crack it?
I'm good. I'm good at that. I'm good at keeping vibe up.
Yeah.
You know, come on, we can do this. Like, I'd be the vibe coordinator. But in terms of following a map, terrible. I once, you know, held the Melways up. Side down and then looked at the next page thinking that the maps followed each other. Terrible, terrible.
This is my favourite, when the revelations just tumble out of that mouth of yours and we find out.
Look, we can even broaden this out to not only watching The Golden Bachelor, but just general, it's almost just like general fake relationships on reality TV. And I know we weren't supposed to talk about The Block, but I kind of hate watch that show. And you watch relationships fall apart on that show. I'm watching two women going, are they even still together anymore?
I know, that beautiful relationship. I watched it as well. But I also watched the commentary on the most recent Block. And a lot of it was, hey, where's all the spice? Where's all the fighting? Everyone's too happy and kind to each other. So we're pushing our television to look a certain way. It surprises me. I thought we were much more into kind of going deeper on how things can actually work really well.
So is that just the formula now? You know, I rewatched with my daughter the other day, The Truman Show. When was the last time you watched that?
Pretty much when it came out. Was that 35 years ago?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's good. It's so current. It's like, that was our warning. right? Jim Carrey back then, 35 years ago, was like, this is where the world is headed and this is my warning to you. And we didn't listen to him.
Oh, we never listen, do we? There's all these warning signs that we're currently swimming around right now. This is a fantastic text. One word for you too. ABC's fault, Sylvanian Waters.
I never watched that. There's some shows I weren't allowed to watch.
Was that Australia's first foray into reality TV?
I don't know. I wasn't allowed to watch that, and I wasn't allowed to watch Prisoner.
Neither was I, or Hawaii 5-0. But a girl knows how to find her way into a hallway just at the right angle so the Hawaii 5-0 was coming straight through.
The hallway was key, wasn't it?
And how you could sneak out, be in your pyjamas, and if they caught you, you were just coming back from the toilet really quickly.
I was able to get the cord from the phone through the hallway, sneak it under my door and shut the door whilst Mum and Dad were probably watching Prisoner and no one knew, and I could call my mates.
So the rotary phone under the door, the joy of that. Let's stay on. Look, if I'm telling you to stay on track, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Simon from Morwell joins us. Simon, what's your take on this?
Over.
Well, you're falling apart.
I am falling apart. Hi, Simon.
Sorry, I couldn't follow that little bit while you talked over each other. Look, really, ladies, you're talking about so-called reality TV, which is by definition unreality TV. And I suspect you'll find that both men and women want dates with people who are fundamentally real.
Yeah.
I know as a man, the last thing I like is a woman who's overdressed, overmade up, looking like she's desperate to look like something she's not.
And does that go both ways, though? You know, I think women want the same thing and how we find genuine relationships. I guess what I wanted to hear today, and I feel very happy with this, is that The Golden Bachelor does not in any way represent the reality of life.
No.
Or does it?
Who has a harem of women that stand in front and you choose which one you would like? So there's nothing real about the proposition, nor can you actually... there has been marriages out of The Bachelor, hasn't there?
Like, and sincere. The rumour is that there's chemistry between Sam Armitage and The Bachelor, whatever his name is.
I feel that in the ads that I've seen.
But this is because you're being sold that.
No, I've just watched the ads and I'm very good at talking about human relationships.
Picking up on stuff.
Yeah. Simon, thank you.
No worries.
Have a good weekend. 1-300-222-774. Gogglebox, very much relying on reliability.
Relatability, that's true.
Relatability, sorry, I don't have my glasses on.
That casting of that show is incredible, I think.
But that's different. And we are digressing from the idea of dating later in life and whether or not men want women to look younger or if they want to date younger women.
This text here says men want to date much younger women, but do women want to date much older men? And in big capitals, no thanks.
Remember you and I had an in-depth chat about women dating younger men? I can't even remember why.
Oh, yeah, why?
I can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
It'll be something.
Something to do with the spa.
Maybe hot tubs. There were lots of women who dated younger men.
Yes.
And the pushback was, oh, babysitting, are we? You know, Baby Girl, the film Baby Girl with Nicole Kidman had something to do with that.
Right, that's right. And we were looking at the setup of how that now looks. And, you know, it's happening, of course, everywhere.
Is it?
You're supposed to yes and me. Yes, Jacinta, that's right. But, no, I think it is. I think it's much more prevalent than we say. But I do think that there's also perhaps an unfair stereotype that we're perpetuating about men wanting younger looking women.
There is a huge crew of people out there who also cut their own hair, can I just say?
Someone said, this conversation is so tangential. Please stay on topic as you go back to the chicken shears. Go back to the chicken shears.
Not shears.
They're shears.
Come on. I've got a line. I don't cross it.
You went into the shear world.
Scissors.
What, would you have used something that cut sheep wool off their back?
It's not. You don't cut fur off wool off with these scissors.
You're cutting bone and flesh.
They're just very, very sharp scissors.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Take care and we'll speak to you soon.